tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Well, as Pastor Rob said, we are in a series called To the Core, where we're taking a look at all of the core values of Next Level Church. And this is a great series, whether you're new to Next Level or you've been a part of Next Level for years. If you're new to Next Level, this is an opportunity for you to get to know us, who we are, what we believe, how we make decisions. And if you've been a part of Next Level, if Next Level is your church, this is a great opportunity for you to make sure that we're all aligned. We're all moving in the same direction as we try to live out our mission to love Jesus, love people, and make a difference. And since this is a series on core values, I thought it'd be helpful for us to define what core values are, and so that we're all working off the same definition, so that we're all on the same page. And so the definition for core values that we've been using all series long is core values are the root beliefs that a person or organization operates from. They are the principal perspectives that guide a person's or organization's behavior with others. So core values should form the framework for all decisions, for all behaviors. They should act as guides or filters for an organization or for an individual. And so it is important for us to talk about these so that we're making sure that we're acting out our core values. And we've been having a little fun throughout this series where we show you a core value from a different company or a different organization, and you all have to try to guess which company you think has this core value. And so we're gonna continue that. I'm gonna put up a core value, and I just want you to shout out loud what company you think has this core value. You ready? Yeah, like one of you is. Great, awesome. We're going to keep going though. The core value is integrity. We work with customers and prospects openly, honestly, and sincerely. Which company has that core value? Awkward silence. Love it. Hardee's. Yes. Anybody else? State Farm. All right. Sweet. All of you are really into this. I like it. It's awesome. Well, those of you that did guess, you're wrong, all right? The actual company, and before I give you the actual company, I have to be fully honest and transparent because the core value is integrity. And so I chose a company that no longer exists. That company, their core value of integrity is none other than Enron. Now, some of you are laughing because you get it. Others of you are like, Enron, what's that? Well, to get you up on the same page as everybody else, I'm going to share a couple headlines written about Enron before they ceased to exist. Here's one from the Wall Street Journal. Behind Enron's fall, a culture of secrecy which cost the firm its investors trust. Now, their core value of integrity, open, honest, sincerity, secrecy, I don't think those coincide very well. Or how about this one from the LA Times? Enron's top executives are convicted of fraud. Doesn't sound like they lived out their core value, does it, of integrity. They operated with everything but integrity. And that's why we're doing this series, because we don't want the headlines written about Next Level to not match our core values. And so we want to live out what our core values are. We want everything we do to come from these core values. And that's why we're doing this series. That's why it's important to talk about them. And so in week one of the series, we started with the core value of start with God, the rest will follow. And this comes from something Jesus said. He literally said to start with God, and everything else will be added on after that. And so the challenge for us, if we're Christians, is to start with God. What would it look like to put God first? What would it look like to go to God first rather than as a last resort? What would it look like to spend time with God very first thing in the morning before we do anything else? Jesus says if you start with God, all of your priorities will be in line. Everything else will fall into place. In week two, we talked about the core value, authenticity matters. And our world tells us to be our authentic self. And as Christians, we need to ask a couple questions about this. The first question is, what is my authentic self? Because if we're honest, there's some mixed messages inside each and every one of us. Like, I want to be healthy, but at the same time, I want to eat all the donuts. Or, I want to be a good dad, but I so often blow it and lose my patience and lose my cool, and I'm anything but a good dad. And so there's these conflicting messages inside of us. What is our authentic self? The second question we need to ask as Christians is, what happens when our authentic self goes against what Jesus says? And so to help us kind of navigate these questions, we looked at the statement, an authentic Christian is one who is both privately and publicly putting off the old self, and by God's grace is putting on the renewed self. And so week three's core value was you can't do life alone. Now all the introverts hear that and say, challenge accepted, I can do that, which technically, yes, you can do life alone. But if you want to live out God's best, if you want to live life as he's intended you to live, you can't do life alone. You need people in your life who are going to encourage you, to support you, to spur you on as you follow Jesus. And so to help us live out the value, we have our next level groups. Signups are going on now. You can visit our website, check out the groups, and get into a group of people and connect with a group of people who are going to help you follow Jesus. Last week, we looked at the core value. It's God's kingdom, not ours. And this was all about bringing heaven to earth. As Christians, our job is to change the world for good. Our job is to help people experience here on earth the kingdom of heaven. Our job is to bring heaven to earth. And so this week, our core value is we go the second mile. And so the big idea for today should come as no surprise to any of us. We go the second mile. And this comes from something that Jesus says and is recorded by us for us by one of his followers, a guy named Matthew. Matthew is a real person. He actually lived. He was one of Jesus' best friends. And he followed Jesus around for years, recording everything that Jesus said and did so that people like us coming after Jesus could learn and know what Jesus said. And so our verse that's going to guide us comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. And something we do at Next Level to help us show honor to the text is we stand and read the verse out loud. So I'm going to invite you all to stand. And we're going to read it together, and just before we start, you'll notice the reference there where it says Matthew 5:41. When we get to the two dots, a colon, instead of saying colon, we like to have a little fun. We put our hands together like this, and we say dot, dot, and we get our whole body into it and do some fist bumps. So it's Matthew 5:41, and if you join in, God will speak to you a whole lot more. It'll wake you up, and you'll enjoy today way more than if you didn't do it. So let's read together. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Matthew 5:41. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come before you, to hear from you, God. I pray that you would help us to settle our hearts, settle our minds, help us to remove the distractions that are in our minds right now. Help us to remove the distractions from our week so that we can solely focus and hear from you, God. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. You can have a seat. And so the verse that we just read comes from a larger portion of Jesus' teaching. It comes from perhaps his most famous sermon. If you're a Christian, if you grew up going to church, you're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. If you've never heard the Sermon on the Mount, what you need to know is it's the most creative name. Jesus is literally standing on a mountain giving a sermon. And so we've entitled it Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus is giving this sermon, and in this sermon, he is teaching on a wide range of topics. He's teaching on worry. He's teaching on prayer. He's teaching on money. This is where he gives the golden rule. And in this sermon, we have a section where he starts teaching about how we interact with other people, specifically our enemies. And that's where we get our verse. And he says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. And so we hear that, we look at that, and maybe we're familiar with this idea of going the second mile because we've gone to Chick-fil-A or we've heard it in church or we've got some experience with other organizations or other companies where this is a value for them. But when Jesus says this line, it would have completely shocked his audience. It would have irritated them. It would have angered them. It would have frustrated them. Why? Well, Jesus's primary audience is Jewish. And in those days, the Jews were controlled by the Roman Empire. Rome had come and conquered much of the known world at that point. And so the Jewish people had to submit themselves to Roman control. And they hated the Romans. They hated being under Roman control. They hated paying Roman taxes. They hated obeying Roman laws. And one of these laws that the Jews were forced to obey was that a Roman soldier at any point, no matter what was going on, could go to a Jewish person and say, and force them to carry that soldier's gear. And that the Jewish citizen was compelled, was forced, was obligated to go with that Roman soldier and carry his gear for 1 mile. Not a step more, not a step less. And once they reached that mile, they could throw off the gear and continue on their way. And so the Jews lived under this, where a Roman soldier at any point, the Jew could have been eating a meal, could have been working, could have been traveling the complete opposite direction, but the Roman soldier could come and force them to carry their pack for one mile. And so Jesus is sitting here teaching, and he says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, and his whole audience would have been like, okay, yeah, we get that, we understand that, we understand where you're going. Now, the perception and the of Jesus at that time was that he was the Messiah, that he was going to free them from Roman rule. And so the Jewish audience, I'm sure, was sitting there expecting Jesus to say something like, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, ignore them, rebel against them, fight against that authority. And so the Jews were waiting for that. But instead, Jesus says something that would have completely shocked him. He says, if anyone forces you to go with them 1 mile, go with them a second mile. And you can just picture the look on the faces of the crowd. Shock, awe, irritation, anger, frustration. Hold on, Jesus. You're saying that not only am I obligated to go 1 mile, that I have to willingly, voluntarily choose to go a second mile and carry this soldier's gear 1 extra mile? And they would have pushed back on this because it would have been hard. It would have been difficult because they hated the Romans, because it would have been extremely inconvenient, because they could care less about the Romans and doing something to help the Romans. And if we're honest, going the second mile today is no easier. It's hard. It's difficult. It's inconvenient. It's going to cost us something to go the second mile. But each and every day, there are people in our world who wake up and live this out. There are people who wake up and say, I'm going to live out what Jesus is teaching. As Pastor Rob shared in his welcome, that before I started working in ministry, I worked at Chick-fil-A. I worked at Chick-fil-A for 12 years. I started as a team member and worked my way up into leadership at a restaurant. And so it was my primary job to help train team members to live this out. One of Chick-fil-A's values is going above and beyond for their guests. They literally call it going the second mile. And so it was my job to lead our restaurant to do that. And so as we were planning this series, it kind of made sense for me to talk about this value. But as we continued to talk about this series, I was like, hey guys, I've been out of the Chick-fil-A game for a while. And so it would be fun for our church to hear from someone who's living this right here in our community. And so recently, I had the opportunity to sit down with Kevin Harrison, who is the owner-operator of 2 Chick-fil-A restaurants right here on the peninsula, and talk to him about this core value of ours. And so check out the screens for my conversation with Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, thanks so much for joining us today. I'm excited for our church to hear from you about going the second mile. Before we jump into that, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, help us get to know you a little bit.
Sure thing. Well, my name's Kevin Harrison. I've been the chicken guy locally for 31 years, 31 years this past August. Started working at Chick-fil-A when I was in high school. It was my second real job outside of cutting grass for the neighbors. You know, it was my second real job. And I got really excited about what I experienced at Chick-fil-A and then decided to pursue it as a career. And yeah, have been doing that ever since.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, we're glad to have you. Well, one of our values at Next Level Church is we go the second mile, and we unapologetically stole that from Chick-fil-A. But Chick-fil-A didn't come up with it, did they?
That's right. No.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about, hey, where did Chick-fil-A get this, this whole idea of going the second mile?
Sure. Well, it comes out of Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and you know, he's got all of these sayings that go something like this. You have heard that this is the standard.
Yeah.
But I am here to tell you that this is my way. This is the standard. And going the second mile was one of those examples where he said, if you have heard, if someone requires you to walk with them 1 mile, I say go with them 2. And so it's like this, go above and beyond what's expected. And our CEO kind of got his heart wrapped around that verse, mm-hmm. and then thought, well, this is a great thing to apply to our business. How can we make a difference in the lives of our customers by going the second mile? So that's where it came from.
Yeah, that's awesome. So why do you think it's such a priority for Chick-fil-A to go this second mile?
Sure. Well, everybody pretty much goes the first mile. So if you're in business, you're expected to serve a decent product, be relatively friendly, fast in our context. But where you really start to separate yourself and you make people go, that was different, that was better, is when you go the second mile, because it's pretty lonely on the second mile. Not many people wake up and say, let me go above and beyond what's required. You know, that's the way most of us live our lives. We say, well, this is what's required. This is my department. I'm going to do this. But Jesus calls us, if we're going to follow him, to go beyond what the world, you know, says for us to do. And And so that's where all that kind of came together and became a business principle, one of our core values.
Yeah, for sure. Now, as we've learned, as we've been learning through our series, that it's one thing to have a core value, put on your wall, put on your mission statement, put on your website or whatever. It's another thing to live that out. And so Chick-fil-A lives this out on a regular basis. Can you give us like about maybe behind the scenes look, or tell us how does this value of going the second mile play out in your restaurants on a daily basis?
Sure. Well, first thing is, it's easier to help somebody go the second mile who has an interest in going the second mile. And so at Chick-fil-A, we look for people that are kind of bent towards wanting to serve others. Mm-hmm. And so that helps. But then we try to teach them the benefits of going the second mile. Most people have this mindset, especially at work. They'll have a mindset of, okay, what's in it for me? There's a paycheck, maybe there's some learning opportunities. Most people don't think, oh, there's something in it for me if I go above and beyond what's expected.
Yeah.
But there is. There is. There's surprises that are in store for us on the second mile if we choose to go there. Not everybody goes there. You know, one of the things that we do at Chick-fil-A that most people see is we go outside, even in inclement weather, and we take orders outside. We do that to provide better service for our customers, more accurate service, faster service, more personal.
Yeah.
But it is harder. But in doing that, we experience some things, getting to know customers like we wouldn't be able to get to know them through a speaker box. Seeing people come back and we can build relationships. That's happening in our restaurants, and our neighbors, some of our competitors who don't do that, they don't get to experience that joy, the connectedness that we get with the customer from that standpoint. So what I would say about the second mile in trying to help one of my employees commit to that is there are surprises waiting for you on the second mile.
For sure. And I know as someone who frequents Chick-fil-A, it is definitely appreciated when I can talk to a real person. I may go through some other drive-thrus and I'm like, are they really paying attention to me? I don't really know what's happening on the other end of that speaker box. And there's always a doubt in my mind of, did they get my order right? Mm-hmm. But when I'm able to look someone in the eye, I definitely appreciate that. So what you're doing resonates, I feel like, at least for me. Yeah. What would you, in your opinion, or in your view, in your experience, what impact has this commitment to go the second mile had for Chick-fil-A, both as a brand, but also in your own individual restaurants?
Sure. So one of the things I teach in orientation is that if you drive 5 minutes on either side of either one of my restaurants, you pass dozens and dozens of restaurants. So there's so many choices out there. Same thing in the church world. You drive down the street and you pass church after church. And so when most of these other restaurants don't go the second mile, we get benefits from making that commitment.
Yeah.
It is harder. It is harder. It's always harder to go the second mile. I mean, when you read through Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount, they're very challenging. I mean, for believers, we need to take them seriously. They're very challenging. But there are just huge benefits. And so for us, a great example is this year when COVID attacked the restaurant business like pretty much no other industry.
Yeah.
Because we were already kind of executing this second mile service outside, we were able to do remarkably well with our drive-through business. So our dining room shut down. But because we were going outside and we had invested in technology and people out there, we were actually able to fare very well during a very challenging season. So that's one tangible benefit. We probably got business that other people weren't ready to capture because we were going the second mile.
Yeah, for sure. Now, this whole idea of going the second mile definitely doesn't come naturally to people. I think that's why Jesus taught on it, right?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't come naturally to us. And so when you are in your restaurants, when you have got your team members and you're trying to get them to go the second mile, I know you touched on a little bit about the explaining the benefits of it, but beyond that, are there certain qualities or characteristics that someone has to exhibit that you're like, okay, this person's going to go the second mile, or is it 100% teachable? Give us a little bit behind the scenes how you motivate a bunch of employees to all go the second mile beyond just, I know you mentioned, like I said, the benefits of it, but is there anything else beyond that?
Well, I think when you go the second mile, you grow.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. We left something out of somebody's bag a couple days ago. And unfortunately, this had happened to this individual a couple of times, and he let me know. And so I went to the restaurant, got this item, and drove it to his house.
Oh, wow.
Now, I haven't, I hadn't met him before. It'd only been through phone calls and everything. But I had to humble myself a little bit to say, hey, we messed up here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring this to you and kind of serve you that way. And it was very uncomfortable going to a stranger's house, going, here's your wrap that I left out of your bag, or one of my staff
Especially
left
they,
out
they
of your bag.
They might be mad. Yeah, yeah, you don't know what you're getting yourself into.
But in, he invited me into his house.
Oh, wow.
And for 20 minutes, we talked about all sorts of things other than Chick-fil-A.
That's awesome.
And I feel like that probably built a relationship there that, that could extend into the future. And it really blessed me to get to know them and to see how much they love my business. And so I feel like humility is one thing that sometimes you have to have in going the second mile, because it's really about serving somebody else. And if you look at that verse, you know, when you are forced to go 1 mile, when we're forced to do things, we typically don't like that. Rebellious, and human nature is rebellious.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a sin nature, and we're going to rebel against God and pretty much every authority that there is. But the Bible's clear, when we humble ourselves, good things happen, and that's what God wants. And so I think as you're planning to go the second mile, whether it's at church or at work, there is a dose of humility that we have to have.
Yeah, and I think also another great thing from your story is that that moment, going the second mile for that guest, gave you an opportunity to have that conversation, that relationship-building moment, which may or may not have happened if you didn't take that that step. And I think maybe that was another reason Jesus was asking us to go the second mile. It opens that door for that relationship, that influence that we can have in other people's lives. And so that's awesome. And I know in other restaurants, they're just like, oh, well, we forgot it. No big deal. So what you guys are doing is definitely going above and beyond there. And so going the second mile, like we said, is hard. Do you and your team ever find it difficult to go that second mile? And when you do find it difficult, or if you find it difficult, what do you guys do to push through that, like, you know, and not give up and be like, oh, well, we're mailing it in this time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it's ever easy.
Yeah.
I think just reminding ourselves that how good do we want to be? Mm. You know, do we want to be like everybody else and just live in the first mile? Or are we going to live to a higher calling? I tell people all the time, if you want to live in the first mile world, there's plenty of other restaurants that will gladly hire you. But I'm hiring you to help us go the second mile.
Yeah.
I mean, we go over that in every orientation. And so I think that's the type of, you really need leadership that kind of communicates that. And I will tell you, I don't always do this consistently enough.
Yeah.
It's something that you can never stop teaching and encouraging people to do. But I mean, just this question, how good do you want to be? That's something that will kind of take root in somebody's mind. And sometimes just having that question in their mind will compel them to take the second mile steps.
Yeah, for sure. Well, as we wrap up, many of our people don't work at a Chick-fil-A mm-hmm. restaurant. So do you have any tips, advice, encouragement for them as they look to try to go the second mile and live out Jesus's words in their families, in their jobs, and wherever their circles are? Anything that you say to help them do that in their own lives?
Sure. I would say that the world tells us we should act based on how we feel. You know, follow your heart. You hear that all mm-hmm. the time. But the Bible tells us the heart is deceitful above all things. So if we're always listening to just our heart and kind of living out our lives that way, yeah. we're going to get in trouble. But when we turn to Jesus' words, if we want to follow him versus the world, how we treat our spouse, sometimes it doesn't feel. What he or she may need from us doesn't feel best. You know, it's going the second mile for them.
Yeah.
It can be a little uncomfortable. Our families, or at work. But that's okay. It's not meant to feel great. But there is a reward that comes from that. And so I would just, I would encourage people to take a chance, you know, take that uncomfortable step down the second mile, even though it may not feel right.
Yeah, for sure. Well, awesome. That's really great. I once again appreciate you being here, and thanks for your time. It was great learning from
sure
you.
Sure thing. My pleasure.
Yeah. There was a common theme woven throughout Kevin's responses, if you happen to catch it, and there was the fact that the second mile provides opportunity, and it was illustrated by his story of taking food to a guest who they had left out of their order, had forgotten it, and Kevin takes it to the guest's home and proceeds then to have a 20-minute conversation with this guest, and by going that second mile, it opened the door for that relationship, that interaction, that opportunity to influence. And I think that helps illustrate the why Jesus says what he says in telling us to go the second mile. Because it's no secret that the Jews hated the Romans, right? The Romans knew it. The Jews knew it. Everybody knew it. And the Romans, I'm sure, got some type of satisfaction, even if it was just a small amount, of forcing the Jews to comply with this law of carrying their pack. And maybe they even turned it into a game that it's like, how can I inconvenience someone the most? Who would be the most inconvenienced by forcing them to carry my gear? And the Jews hated it. And they only fulfilled this obligation, not because they wanted to, but because they had to. Because if they didn't, there'd be consequences. They would be arrested. They could be tortured. They could be ultimately killed because they disobeyed this law. And here's Jesus saying to go the second mile, and because it presents an opportunity for us. Can you imagine the situation, the scenario where a Roman soldier walks up to a Jewish citizen and says, hey, I've chosen you to carry my gear, and now you are obligated by law to come with me 1 mile. So the Jewish citizen picks up that soldier's gear and proceeds to walk that 1 mile. And they're getting closer to that 1 mile marker, and the Roman soldier is fully expecting the Jewish citizen to drop the gear and run away, because that's happened every other time. But as they reach that 1 mile marker, the Jewish citizen turns to the Roman and says, hey, you still got some more time on your journey. I'll go with you a second mile. Can you imagine the response from the Roman soldier? Don't you think that soldier would be just a little bit curious? Don't you think that soldier would have just a few questions? Don't you think that would spark a conversation between the soldier and the Jewish citizen? Don't you think that the tension, the conflict, the divide between those two people would be minimized even just a little bit because the Jewish citizen chose willingly, voluntarily to go that extra mile? What would happen in your life if you chose to go the second mile? What would happen if you chose to go the second mile for your spouse? What would happen if you decided to go above and beyond for your friends, for your family? What would happen if you went beyond, if you did more than the minimum at your job? Don't you think that would spark conversations? Don't you think that would open the door for questions? Author Dave Anderson says this in his book, How to Run Your Business by the Book. He says, going the first mile fulfills an obligation. By going the second mile, you earn the right to witness and influence. Isn't that what we're trying to do? Aren't we trying to influence people to follow Jesus? And here's Jesus, here's Chick-fil-A, here's Dave Anderson, all saying, hey, going the first mile, that doesn't raise any questions. That's not special. That's required. That's the bare minimum. No one looks twice, thinks twice about anyone going the first mile. But when you choose to go the second mile, people look at that differently. They have questions. They're curious. It opens the door for influence. It opens the door to have conversations. It opens the door for witness. There's power in going the second mile. Jesus knows it. Chick-fil-A knows it. And here at Next Level, we know it. It's why it's our core value. And so that brings us to today's win. The win is what we do with all of it. It's how we take what we've learned and live it out. So today's win is, think of the most difficult person in your life. How can you go the second mile for them this week? Who's the most difficult person in your life? Is it your spouse? Is it your parents? Is it your kids? Is it a coworker? Is it your boss? Is it your teacher? Is it your students? Who are the most difficult people in your life? How can you go the second mile? But Scott, you don't know the person in my life that he or she is so difficult. You're right. I don't know that person. I don't know anything about them. But I do know this. When Jesus said it, when he said, go the second mile, he was talking to Jews who the most difficult people in their life in that moment were the Roman soldiers. And he said, go the second mile for them. Why? Because it's going to give you an opportunity to influence, to witness, to change their heart. It's going to invite questions. And the same thing that was true then is true today. When you go the second mile for someone, it invites curiosity. It gives you an opportunity to answer questions, to influence them. And that's what we're after. There's power in the second mile. So who's the most difficult person in your life, and how can you go the second mile for them this week? Would you pray with me? God, we acknowledge that this is hard, that it's inconvenient, that it's going to be painful, that it's going to be difficult. But we also acknowledge that there's benefit in it, God, that there's good that can come out of it, that it opens the door for influence. It opens the door for conversations, God. And so we ask that you would give us the strength, the courage, the boldness to live out this value, to go the second mile when it's difficult, when it's hard. Give us the strength to do this, God, because we want to be a church that doesn't settle for the first mile. We want to be a church that goes the second mile. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.